Ghost. Number one, you can have it. Number two, you definitely need it. Number three, if you plan on going to heaven, you better have it. Praise God, because you're not getting in any other way. Hallelujah. There's one way. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father who is above all, through all, and in us all. And that same Jesus, amen, said that he was the way, the truth, and the light. And that he was the door. The door. And he said that nobody can come unto him if anybody comes in any other way, that they are a thief and a liar. Praise God. Amen. And so you've got to have the Holy Ghost if you are going to be saved. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9. The Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. You are none of the Lord's. You can believe on him. You can confess him. You can do whatever you want. But the Bible said that if you have not received the Spirit, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we know that Jesus answering Nicodemus in John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, Jesus answers Nicodemus and says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot get in without being born again of the water and the Spirit. Praise God. You must be born again. He says a little bit later on there in the same chapter, he said, marvel not that I said that you must be born again. And he said, that which is of the flesh is of the flesh. And that which is of the Spirit is of the Spirit. Praise God. And we're talking about that spiritual birth. Amen. Of being born again of the water and the Spirit. Praise God. And so that is the way that every one of us have come in. Every one of us have entered in that way. And we read that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in the upper room and they were all praying and seeking God. And the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Praise God. I could teach, I could preach for a real, real long time, amen, about the essentialness of first of all receiving the Holy Ghost and then speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. You will find that there is a common theme throughout the Bible. And when you find themes in the Bible, it's like a sweater that when you see a little snag on it and you go to pull it and your mom says, don't touch that, don't do that, because she knows that when you pull it, it's going to gather up somewhere else because it's all connected. And that's the way that the Spirit of God and the theme of all of this is connected throughout the Bible. You will see that in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 7 and chapter 8, you will see the storm and the flood. And when they came out of the flood and they settled there on Mount Ararat, and the door was opened and Noah came out. And there they were, a new life had began. And what did they see? They saw a rainbow. And the Lord made a promise with rainbow. With Noah, and he told Noah, he said, I will never destroy the earth by water again. And he said, and this shall be a sign of the promise, or a token of the covenant. And you will see throughout your Bible in many different areas where the Lord says that, and that he would say, and this shall be a sign of the promise, or he will say, and this shall be a token of the covenant. They are can be used interchangeably. They mean the exact same thing. And every time that God made a promise to his people, he gave a token of the covenant or a sign of the promise. Throughout all of Scripture, he always made a sign of the promise to go with that promise. Praise God. We could see the token of blood, the sign of the promise, in that the Lord spoken. He said, look, I will bypass your house. The death angel will pass by you. And the way that you're going to know this is there is going to be blood that is going to be upon the doorpost and upon the headers there. And if that sign is there, I promise you, I'll bypass your house. And we could spend a long time talking about even the sign of God's covenant with his people through the Jewish circumcision and now being the circumcision of the heart. And we could get into some, but in Luke chapter number 24, Jesus, one more time speaking to his people, he said, go and tarry ye there in Jerusalem, amen, until ye be endued with power from upon high. But he said it along these lines. He said, until, amen, you receive the promise of the Father. And every time you've got a promise in Scripture, you're going to have a sign of the promise. He said that there is going to be the promise of the Father is going to be given unto you in Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem in Acts chapter number 2, and in the upper room, we find that the promise of the Father was poured out upon everybody that was in the upper room. And the Bible said that they were all filled with the promise of the Father. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the sign of the promise was that they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak with other tongues. You're not going to just get happy, even though you are going to get happy. You're going to have a smile from ear to ear. But that's not the sign of the promise. You're going to feel good when you get the Holy Ghost. But that's not the sign of the promise. Because in Acts chapter number 8, they were happy and they felt good. But Paul said they haven't received the Holy Ghost. And so Philip called for them to come. And the Bible said that when they came, they laid hands upon them and they received the Holy Ghost and they spoke with other tongues. Acts chapter number 19, when you get into John's disciples, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I believe, number one, they had been baptized. They had been baptized wrong, and they needed to be baptized again. But they had been baptized, and they probably felt pretty good. But that was not the sign of the promise. But when they baptized them, when Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible said that they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. You need to be understanding in that there are two types of tongues. Number one, there is the gift of tongues. Number two, there is the sign of the promise. Hallelujah. They are not one in the same. Amen. We will know, and we've taught about it. Praise God. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to get the sign of the promise. You're going to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. What does that simply mean? You can go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 1, where Paul was writing there. And he said, though I speak with tongues of men or of angels and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Hallelujah. And so he lets us know what it is. Acts chapter number 2, let us know what it was. When they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, they came out of that upper room, and all nations heard them speaking in their own own language. That is the tongues of men. Amen. This is what Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians 13 and 1. Though I speak with tongues of men. Amen. That just simply, let me put it in Calvin language. Amen. Though I speak in Spanish. Amen. In Dutch. In German. In English. In Korean. In Chinese. In whatever language it is. That's the tongue of men. But the Lord said, don't just stop it right there. He said it could be the tongues of angels. A tongue that nobody understands. A tongue that no amen linguist is able to pick up and to be able to comprehend. But God says, when I've got control of the tongue, I am in control of the body. Oh yeah. James, amen, in the book of James, hallelujah, he said that the tongue is a member set on fire of hell, and that it is able to create a lot of damage. He said that the tongue no man can tame, but when you receive the Holy Ghost, amen, this is Jesus showing, I've got control of your life, I can do whatever I need to do with it. It's not because he's forcing you, it's because you've submitted your life unto the Lord. And when you submit your life unto God, God lets you know, hey, I've got total control of your life. And how do you know that? You speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Oh, let's love him today. Praise God. There have been several times in our life that we have needed a direct word from God. And just throughout life, there were many times. I can remember one time as we were looking at taking a church down in Portales, New Mexico. And it was so unique and just crazy. Several weeks before that, I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw this church. And when I walked up to this church, I'm a builder by trade. And so when I walked up to this church and I saw how big that it was and stuff, I was like, that door is not centered. That door is off kilter. It's out of whack. It's way off. And it's just like they put it wherever they wanted to put it or something. And obviously they did, but it made no sense where they put it. It wasn't centered. It was just kind of, it wasn't centered. It wasn't off to the side. It was just, here's a really, really, really good Southern word. It was cattywampus. You heard that, huh? That's what it was. It was cattywampus. And so I walked into this church in my dream. I walked into this church. And when I walked in, I saw that there was a door to the sanctuary on my left and that there was a door to the sanctuary on my right, kind of just like right here, except for there was no center door. There was no middle door. And so I walked into the door of the sanctuary. And as I walked in, I began to notice all kinds of things. And I took mental note of where everything was. And I went up to the front and I turned around and looked. And in the back, up against the wall, which would be where our doors are, because they had no doors there. There was this big box. It's like, I won't even say it was a room. It's just a big box that was there. And on top of that box, that's where they had their drums. Their drums wasn't up on the platform. Their drums was in the back on the wall, up on top of the box. And so I had all of these details. And so I was telling a friend about this dream that I had. And he got all excited about it, unbeknownst to me, he got in touch with his pastor, and he was a minister. As a matter of fact, he may have already been pastor in a church, I'm not for sure, but anyway, he got in touch with his pastor. His pastor contacted my pastor, where we were assisting there in Colorado Springs at the time, and a couple of days later, Brother Johnson walks into my office, and he throws some pictures on my desk, some printed pictures. He throws some pictures on my desk, and he said, take a look at those and tell me what you think of it. And I had already told him the dream as well by this time. And so he throws these pictures on my desk, and he said, take a look at that and tell me what you think of that. And so I start meticulously going through these pictures and stuff, and I immediately know. And I turned around and looked at him, and I said, it looks exactly like the church that I dreamed. And he said, that's what I was thinking. And I said, well, where is this? And so he told me where it was and stuff. And he said, you know, the thing about it is, he said, they need a pastor. Well, I didn't know I was ready for that. And he said, what do you think? And I said, well, I said, with the way that it's all played out, I think I have to go look at that. I mean, I dreamed it before I ever saw it. I dreamed it into existence. And he said, yeah, you do. And so he said, you know, Brother Garrett's the one that's over that. You just need to contact him and set up a time. So we contacted Brother Garrett, and we went and went down there. And so when we got there, everything started just coming together. And it was kind of almost scary. And so there we were, and I looked at the church, and I couldn't really see in the picture the way that the picture was taken on an angle. And so I looked at the church, and sure enough, the front door is off center. And so I walk into the sanctuary, and we really couldn't tell this in the pictures, but I walk into the sanctuary. Sure enough, there's doors on the left, doors on the right. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so I choose the door, and I walk in, and I look at it. Piano's exactly where I dreamed it. Keyboard, organ, everything is exactly as I dreamed it. Everything was just exactly like I dreamed it. But there were some drums. There were some drums on the platform. And I thought to myself, I said, I am not looking to my left to find out what that big box is, but I know there's a box there. And so I walked all the way down to the front, to the platform. And when I got down to the front, I turned around looking for the box that is on the back wall. And I look back there, and lo and behold, there's a pretty good-sized room that's built off of the center of that back wall. Pretty good size, about 8 foot tall, comes around, it's got glass all the way. That was their sound booth. And it was totally enclosed with the door and glass and all that other stuff. It was totally enclosed. And I thought, there's no drums up there. So that was Saturday night. Sunday, we come in and we start having church and stuff, and music's going, everything's going well and stuff, and I get up and I'm getting ready to preach. The drummer comes off the platform. He goes straight back to the sound booth, and he's the one that runs the sound booth. I'm like, whoa. So, you know, thinking about this is, well, man, I mean, it's got to be the will of God, right? And so we went back home, and Brother Johnson said, well, what do you think about it? I said, I don't know. I said, I've just got mixed emotion. I said, there's no doubt in my mind. It's the church that I dreamed. He said, well, just let it rest for a few weeks. So we let it rest. We went to conference, came back, and we met back up. And he said, well, have you thought about it? And I said, I have. I said, I just don't know. And he said, well, you probably need to go back. I said, okay, I'll go back. And I had many dreams up to this point, and we had watched them all come to pass. And now I've got this one, and I just don't understand. I know that this is the church that I dreamed. But at the same time, I just don't feel like that connection. I don't feel that. And so anyway, we drive back, and on the way there, it just feels like we're just getting further and further away from home. And when we got there, we got situated there in the house that's part of the church and parsonage right there. And so my wife and I, we are walking over to the church for Saturday night prayer, and we're walking, and she just kind of looks up at me, and she says, this ain't it, is it? And I said, no, it's not. She said, well, what did the dream mean? I said, I have no idea. And so we went, we prayed, and we couldn't wait for Sunday to be over. I mean, we were just like miserable. And so we had good church Sunday morning, good church Sunday night. Monday we got up and drove home. And so went into Brother Johnson's office whatever day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day it was. And he said, well, what do you think? Stuff. I said, Bishop, I just don't know. I said, you know, I don't understand why I dreamed it. I said, but I am going to tell you one thing. I said, it's not the will of God. I said, I know that with an assurity. I said, I just don't understand the dream. I just don't understand, but I know it's not the will of God. He said, I'm going to tell you what it was. Sister Johnson piped up. She said, I could have told you that 3 weeks ago. And Brother Johnson said, yeah, you ain't going to tell him anything. And so Brother Johnson says, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. He said, up to this point, God has always been able to talk to you and speak to you through dreams. And this time, God wanted to find out if you were going to follow a dream or follow your heart. Whoa. Okay. Well, glad I chose right. $5, Sister Johnson, I paid you 3 weeks ago. No. And it's been that way in several different scenarios. When we went and took the church in Red Bluff, we felt when we got there, when we drove up, we were climbing out the doors of our vehicles looking at it. It's like, this ain't the will of God. No way, Jose. We stepped in the church and we knew it was not the will of God. We got into the sanctuary and we got to looking at the holes in the walls and stuff. It's like, no. This ain't the will of God. And everything that we went around looking at and stuff is like, nope, this ain't the will of God. This isn't the will of God. And then all of a sudden, God just got a hold of the old heart. And I got in there and got to pray and stuff, and I just felt like it was what we needed to do. And my wife started feeling like it was what we needed to do. We went back to Colorado Springs, and Brother Johnson asked, he said, well, what do you think about it? I said, you know what? I said, I almost have to say I don't even want to go. I said, but I will tell you, I feel like I need to. I feel like it's the will of God and stuff. And he told me then, he said, you're going to have a sure answer. Because when you get there, he said, don't let anybody tell you you have to, you need to, you should, or you shouldn't. He said, you need to hear the voice of the Lord. Because when you get there and you're going through hell, you better know that God called you to that place. And so that's exactly what happened. We went there and it was rough. It was super, super rough. But we always had this stronghold knowing God sent us here, so God's going to take care of us. And it has been that way throughout throughout life, several different times. We've had to have a, as the Bible would call it, a sure word of prophecy. And I said all of that to simply say this: when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, it wasn't some inspiration that you kind of had. It wasn't a good feeling that you had. Because I'm just telling you, one of these days, Daniel, you're going to have to play with me. Garrett's not here anymore. I don't want to hurt your threads here, okay? But you just go with me, okay? All right. But there's going to be days that the devil feels that you're going to think that the devil's got total rule over you, and that the devil is sitting here throwing you and pushing you around and throwing you on the ground and kicking you and stomping on you. And you better know that you've got the Holy Ghost. You've got to know, hey, I've got the Holy Ghost. Because when the devil is sitting there stomping you and kicking you around, and you don't feel like you're an overcomer, and you say, well, I don't know, I just had a good feeling. I just kind of got happy. No, God said, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to know. Everybody around you is going to know, and all of hell's going to know that I got control of this individual. God wants you to know that you've got the Holy Ghost. God wants you to be able to take it to the bank and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you didn't get that revelation all of a sudden because that you felt joy. And you didn't get that revelation because you all of a sudden felt good. You didn't even get that revelation because you had goosebumps running up and down on top of goosebumps. You got that revelation because something miraculous began to happen. And you began to speak in a language that you didn't even know. It didn't make sense. It didn't sound right. But something was happening as God gave the utterance. You spoke in a heavenly language. Language. Up until that point, it was the devil wrestling you, getting you in the headlock, amen, and trying to get you to be afraid, trying to get you anxious about all kinds of things. It was the devil saying, you ain't going to get it. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. But all of a sudden, you begin to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, and the devil had to let go, and the devil had to back off, and the devil had to go away. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the Holy Ghost. And that doesn't mean that every day you're going to feel like you conquered the world. As a matter of fact, there's going to be days that you feel like you're going to have to reach up and grab your shoestrings to pull you up. Because you're going to feel like the devil has been trampling on you, beating you down. Yeah, you're going to have days of depression. You're going to have days of anxiety. You're going to have bad days. You know why? Because the devil knows you got the goods. Because when you didn't have the goods, he really wasn't worried about you. But all of a sudden, when you started seeking after the Lord, and he knows that the scripture says that in the day that you seek him with all of your heart, you're going to find him. And he knew that. And he started wrestling you. And he started beating you down. And he started coming against your mind. But one day, God filled you with the Holy Ghost. And that doesn't mean that you're living in a world full of roses. That just means I can do all things. Things through Christ which strengthens me. Yeah, you had all kinds of plans. Woo! I'm gonna give the devil a black eye. I'm gonna break his nose. I'm gonna bloody his nose. I'm gonna bust his lip, give him a fat lip. I am going to mess him up. And it's like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. And all of a sudden, when you get punched in the face, everything ain't so funny anymore. And as Ray Stevens says, everything ain't so beautiful anymore. Reality comes at you in a knuckle sandwich. Reality comes at you with a layoff. Reality comes at you with a firing. Reality comes at you with a handful of life. Amen. And you're sitting here wondering, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell you what you need to do. It's not time to sit down, to shut up, and to back up. It's time to get back up and to get to an altar and say, God, I'm here and I need you to confirm it all over again. I need you to confirm. I still got the Holy Ghost. I need you to renew me in the Holy Ghost. I'm God. My record is on high. I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. And I'm asking you to help me. And he will. And he will. And he will. He will come through. Praise God. That's what you got to do. Repent. Be baptized. And every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Until then. Whoa. I don't even have anything good to use. Until then. Devil's going to be sitting here boinking you on the head. You ain't saved, you ain't saved, you ain't saved, you ain't saved. You worthless. You're messed up. But when you can say, I've already been to the water, and I've already been baptized, I've already been converted, and I feel all right. Because I've been changed in Jesus' name. And I feel all right. You say, preacher, I've already been baptized and there's days that I don't feel all right. Amen. That makes two of us. Hallelujah. But when the devil is telling you how big of a nobody that you are and how big of a loser that you are, amen, you've got a water birth that has happened and you've got a spiritual birth that has happened. And you just look him in the eye and you say, devil, you can't take my baptism from me. You can't take my infilling from me. I heard it when the preacher said in Jesus' name. I heard it when I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I've got
the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says, well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Devil, you're not getting me. Just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like that Holy Bible says. Devil can't take your experience away. Devil can't erase reality. He can give you a bad day, but what is reality is that there was a baptism. There was a water birth. There was an infilling of the Spirit. You got the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. No man. You know why? Because angels encamp round about them that fear the Lord. I didn't say you couldn't remove yourself from the Father's hand. You know, if some thugs would have went to the Father's house and grabbed the prodigal son and said, you're coming with me, the father would have went, and he would have whistled all the soldiers, and they would have jumped on their ponies, and they would have taken off, and they would have recovered the father. They would have recovered the prodigal son. And that's not the way that the prodigal son left. Prodigal son went up to dad, and he said, I'm tired of this. I don't feel like coming anymore. I don't feel like obeying your rules anymore. As a matter of fact, I wish you were dead. Because if you was dead, I wouldn't have to ask for my inheritance. It would just be given to me. But since you're not, I want my inheritance. And the father gave him the inheritance. And the prodigal son left. There's a big difference. I said there's a big difference. The prodigal son left. And if the prodigal son would have died in the hog pen, he would have died lost. Because in that situation, understanding, the father had no idea where he was. He would have died lost. But he got up and he came back to the father's house. And when he came in, he said, just make me a servant. And the father said, we ain't having any of that. You're a child. You're a son. Once a son, always a son. You got the name, come in. You got the authority, the house. You got everything that you need. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, child of God, you've got the same authority. You can look at that devil and say, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get behind me. You can overcome temptation. You can overcome the trial. You can overcome the test. You can be victorious through it all. Now, that's the good part. Let's talk about, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. Because the devil ain't gonna give up easy. God doesn't give up easy. But the devil doesn't give up easy either. And so every day, he's coming at you. As a matter of fact, I feel led to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost right now, at night he's coming against you in your dreams. You've been having these dreams, and they got you all worried. They got you all confused. They got you all messed up. That's the devil warring against your mind. Warring against your mind, your subconscious, your subliminal mind. It shows you the devil doesn't ever give up. He doesn't quit. When you put your feet on the floor and the first thing in the morning, he's there to meet and greet you. And he's there to hound you every step of the way throughout the day. Kicking you, prodding you, pushing you, accusing you, throwing those perverted pictures in front of you, throwing all kinds of sick stuff in front of you, causing all kinds of things to happen, just warring, beating you, buffeting spirits. That's all they're there for, just to tear you down, just to wear you out. And that's what Paul said. He said there's given unto me a thorn in the flesh, buffeting spirits. That's all they're there for, just to keep kicking you in the shin. Hey, that hurts. They kick you in the shin again. They don't care. They're not after your well-being. They're not there to get you to fall into temptation. They're just there to weaken you. And finally, when they've got you to that place that they you're weak, and then they send in the big boys. And in they come. The devil doesn't give up. And if you make it through that day, he's coming back tomorrow. That's why church is so important. Because you never know what the devil's going to throw at you tomorrow. And believe me, he doesn't play fair. Well, there's been times that I thought I had the devil by the tail wrapped up, but, you know, that gorilla tape thrown into a box, welded shut, threw away the key, got rid of it. And I thought, man, I am on cloud nine. Just to have the devil pop my balloon. Well, where did you come from? All it takes is one phone call. All it takes is one happening. I don't care if the phone call is from your doctor, from your lawyer, from your cousin, from your aunt. It doesn't matter. One phone call. Turn your life totally upside down. Seem just shake you out. That's on a Thursday. What happened if you missed church on Wednesday? That's why it's important to be at church. You say, oh, preacher, that's just your doctrine. Well, if that's what the Bible says, then that's what we'll believe. But the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. And you see this. The Bible says, we read it in our text, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Continued. They didn't get it and stop. Whoa, I'm so glad I got the Holy Ghost. I'll see you guys in heaven. Until then, have a good time. No, they continued. Bible said, breaking of bread. Fellowship. House to house. Said they sold their goods. Say, well, what does that mean? The easiest way to explain it would be, let's say, Asbury on steroids. So in other words, the Holy Ghost broke out. You know, Asbury, wherever that is, Tennessee or whatever it was. I don't even know. Huh? Kentucky, yeah. Yeah, Kentucky. Asbury, Kentucky. They all got out there, you know, and they had a prayer meeting, and Spirit of God came down among them, and they didn't go home that night, and they didn't go home the next night and stuff. So you know what? There's some people up there, they're pretty hungry. And then all of a sudden, you got people coming from Florida, from Canada, from California, from all these other, they're all out there. You know, they didn't go to work. They all come out there to see, okay? That's what the day of Pentecost was kind of like. But it went on and on and on. And so you know what they did? They sold their goods because they, you know what? We don't have any money. We don't have anything. So, and he's like, you know what? You're hungry. You know what? I love you so much. I'm going to sell this and sold this. Like, you know what? Let's go get a bite to eat. And they took care of each other through all of that. Let me just tell you, that's what the world is going to come back to. That's what the church is going to come back to. There will be a time at some point, if God doesn't come, that to meet in a place like this is subjecting the entire church of that city to be annihilated at once. And so we probably have to go back to missionary time. When in missionary time, it's like, hey, Brother Wes, can we use your house on Wednesday? Okay, look, I need you to get Sister Stacy, Brother Chuck, Brother Charlie, Sister D, and I want you to get them and just let them know, okay? I'll see you over there, all right? Okay, Brother Henry, can we use your house on Thursday? Okay, look, get Brother Micah, Sister Sarah, Brother Deontay, Sister Melissa, them, get them. I'll meet you over there Thursday, 7:30, okay? All right, good deal. Brother Gavin, can we use your house Saturday? All right, I need you to get Brother Troy, and I need you to get Sister Glenda,
And Brother Dennis, them, I need you to get all that lined up. Go ahead and get Sister Christine too. And we'll be over there like at 10 in the morning, okay? Okay. And that's the way that a lot of the missionaries have church. And that's the way that probably some of us are going to have church if God doesn't come back. I didn't come to preach about that. I mean, we're always preaching that the coming of the Lord is coming, right? All right. And we're not here to preach about the bad stuff. We're here to preach about the good stuff.
Now, if you have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And therefore, you need to begin to walk in the newness of life. I don't know about you, but I cannot remember the last time that I saw a baby, an infant, born, and he just jumped out of the doctor's arms and took off running across the floor. That just doesn't happen. But give them a year. And give them another year, and they're on top of everything, into everything, running from everything. And it only gets worse. What I'm saying is that they grow. And that's what you need to do. We're not babes in Christ, as the book of Hebrews says, any longer. To where we have need of meat, Paul said. You have need of meat. But all you can take is milk. Because you're not growing. And if you're not growing, something is wrong. You don't have six-year-old infants that are still in diapers and that can't walk and say, bless their heart, they're so perfectly great and fine and nothing is wrong with them. No, you know. You know. And it don't take you 6 years to figure it out. You know, shouldn't they be crawling by now? And you go to Sister Google. About what time do kids start crawling? And you call your mom. Mom, about what age did I start walking? Well, you were 10 months when you started walking, but your brother was 13 months. Why? Why are you asking, honey? I mean, Alfred's a year and a half and he ain't walking yet. Something's wrong. And you recognize. And that's the same way it is in the house of God. Let's go to some scripture here. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, and envyings, and all evil speakings. Let me just stop right there. And let me just say that if you want to grow and you want to be not just a threat to the devil's kingdom, but you don't want to be a laughing stock to the devil's kingdom, you need to start getting over some hypocrisies. You cannot live one way, act one way at church, and go live some way else outside of the church. You can't come into the church with your Bible tucked under your arms and saying, oh, bless God, I've been reading my Bible, and I tell you what, the Lord has spoken unto me. But as soon as you get home, or as soon as you walk out, that Bible goes in the back seat of the car, and you grab a tablet, and you start looking at things that you ought to not be looking at, you're a hypocrite, and you are a joke to the devil's kingdom. I'm not saying that things like that are not going to happen. Amen. There is one thing to be overcome by a spirit, but it's another thing to give in to that spirit headlong. Amen. And to go searching for that stuff. You need to be kicking, biting, fighting, scratching, screaming the whole way. Amen. Saying, come on, church. I need my brothers and my sisters to get in the Holy Ghost that I can feel the Spirit of God so that I can be an overcomer. You are a threat to the hell when you have the Holy Ghost, when you have the Spirit of God in you, and hell knows that. That's why he's going to come against you with condemnation, because when you come back to church, you got your head tucked down, and you got your hands in your pocket, and you're walking down. Amen. You don't feel like worship. You don't feel like doing anything, and you're just sitting there, and your life is so empty. Your worship is so empty. Amen. Your praise is so empty. You're looking around. You're clapping. You may even have your hands in the air, but there's something that's missing. It's time to pray through. It's time to get over that. God didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost so that you can be a laughing stock. He didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost so that you could feel goosebumps on top of goosebumps. He filled you with the Holy Ghost so that you could be an overcomer, so that you could be victorious, and so that you would be saved. Now, in the book of Micah, chapter number 7, amen, he said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall," you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. He didn't say, "If I fall," he said, "When I fall." The only one that's perfect, they spread his hands across the tree and they nailed him to, amen, to that tree. But the prophet there, Micah, he said in Micah chapter number 7, I believe it's verse number 8, he said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise." I'm getting up. I'm not staying down. You know, we all think about Muhammad Ali. And we say, you know, one of the greatest prize fighters, one of the greatest boxers in all of history. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Beating everybody. Old Mr. George Foreman, working him over. And he's just sitting there, just bidding his time, catching his second breath. George Foreman just exhausts himself. He can barely pick his hands up and throw them. But he just knew he had the great Ali whipped. And here he is. He can't even breathe. Can't even pick his hands up. And Ali, pow, and George Foreman hit the ground. We think, oh, Ali, he's great. You know why he was great? It's because he got back up. Say, oh, he got knocked down? No, he just decided not to quit. Because there was a time that he was fighting. I don't remember who it was. I was reading the story on him. But he was fighting this guy, and this guy was just, in Ali's mind, this guy was beating the socks off of him. Ali's like, "I can't take anymore." The bell rang. He went back over, sat in the corner, hung his head. They started working him over. Ali's thinking to himself, "I'm throwing in the towel. I'm quitting. This guy's got my number. I can't get him. He's going to beat me. I just need to quit." Bell rang. Ding, ding. It's time to get back up. "Come on, Ali. Get him. Get him. You got him." He stood up and stumbled out. And the only reason that he won was because the other guy didn't get up. Because the other guy was thinking the same thing. "He's got my number. He's beat me. He's whipped me. I can't do it. I'm out." Both of them went to their respective corners, whipped, beat. But Ali got up, and that's how he won. Micah said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall," I'm not staying up. I'm not staying down. "When I fall, I'm getting back up. When I mess up, I'm going back to church. When I do something that I'm not supposed to do, I'm going back to the altar. When I feel like I'm whipped and beat down, I'm getting up, I'm saying, oh God." He said, "When I fall, I shall arise." And he said, "And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Hallelujah. That's you, child of God. You're coming up out of it. Greater is he that is in you, that is he than he that is in the world. Jude said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne of his glory."
Praise God. Let's go on. Lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, envyings, all evil speakings. Now, here we go. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You need to grow. You need to grow. You need to grow up. And we're going to talk about this in a moment. You need to grow into. You need to grow. You don't need to act like a little baby. We got people here in this church tonight that have had the Holy Ghost just a few months. I don't expect them to act like people that's had the Holy Ghost for 20 years. But I got a problem with you if you've had the Holy Ghost for 15 years or whatever, 5 years, and you're still acting like a three-month-old. Some of you doing things that you know better. You need to stop acting like one of those little babies. You need to grow up. You know better. You say, well, so-and-so's getting away with it. Let me throw a great analogy at you, Homer. Oh, I'm having way too much fun today. If an infant, if a three-month-old infant messes in their diaper, are you going to jerk them up by their arm and tan their hide? No. You're just going to change that diaper. But if your 10-year-old messes their pants and they're not sick, are you going to have a problem with that? Yes, you are. If a 3-month-old in the house of God doesn't have it all together, we're teaching them. We're training them. We're raising them up. But if a 10-year-old in the house of God, and I'm not talking about 10 years of age, I'm talking about had the Holy Ghost 10 years. If they're doing some of the same stuff that a 3-month-old is doing, then we got problems. And this is what Paul is saying. Paul said, amen, we all had need of the sincere milk of the Word of God. And that's what gave us the vitamins. And that's what gave us the nutrients. And that's what gave us and helped us to grow. But sometime or another, you can't live on that. And you've got to get up and you need some meat. But we can't be given the meat until the 3 months old because it'll choke them. So we got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Praise God. Let's get back to the Word. If so be you have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones. Everybody say lively. God didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost to sit there. God didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost so you just be a bump on a log. You're going to be lively stones. That's what he says. I'm reading the same Bible you are. He said also as lively. See, I went from being an evangelist to a pastor. You see how that happens? Don't turn around. Cha-ching. There we are. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. Flip over to the next book, 2 Peter chapter number 3. I'm trying to hurry. Verse number 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest any or lest ye also being led away with the error of wicked. With the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. Oh, that would be a perfect place, you say. But grow in grace. Praise God, hallelujah. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to grow in grace. You didn't finish the rest of the scripture. He said, grow in grace and in knowledge. It's about time you start learning. Amen. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just pastoring, okay? But you know, there's some people, it's about time you start learning. You don't walk around with blinders on all the time. Well, you know what? If I don't see it and if I don't hear it, then I don't have to do it. No, you're going to be held accountable for it. Amen. It's just like that little child. They don't know some things, but they're going to grow in grace and they're going to grow in knowledge. And they're going to grow and they're going to know and they're going to understand. You know what? There's some things that I don't do. And if I do get in that cookie jar, mama's going to tan my hide. If I go do that, amen, then I'm going to get in trouble. All the kids in this day and age said, well, if I do that, I'm going to have to go set in time out. Shame on your parents. But that's what the philosophy of the world is today. We got to be more kind. You're going to time out. I have got such a revelation of time out, and I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work. You ready for it? Prison. They've been in time out for 15 years. Let them out and they still act like animals. What they need is mama or daddy to get them, just like the book of Proverbs says, and take a rod to them. And the Bible says that the rod of correction, amen, will drive the spirit of rebellion out of them. That's what the Bible says. Amen. As a matter of fact, I was reading in my Bible, I think it was last week, and there in the book of Proverbs, he said, beat the child, he won't die. And I'm like, my mom took it literally. We don't condone child abuse. But friend, you cannot recreate God's word. You cannot do it. If you do it God's way, it works. It works. All they do when you send them to timeout is they figure out how they're going to do it next time without getting caught. That, or they're just going to get madder and madder and madder and madder. Amen. That's what they do in prison. There they are in prison and time out, and they listen to other experts say, well, you know what you really should have done? You'd have done it like this. I got a cousin that's been in prison multiple times in the big slammer. He didn't grow in grace. He grew in knowledge. And he found out that he could take his boss's check that was signed and he could put some type of fingernail enamel, whatever, over the top of it and do some other stuff like that and then take a hairdryer to it and thump it or whatever, stuff like that, and the ink would fall off the paper and then he could write his own name in there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but somebody caught him. That's why he went to jail. That's why he went to prison. They just teach you how to get away with it, how to do it better next time and stuff. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me get back to the Bible here. Well, I was in the Bible. He said, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But the concept here is that you need to grow. You need to grow. You need to grow. You are not. You're not going to enjoy going and playing with Andy and Billy if you're still acting like an infant. Because you don't know how to ride a bicycle. And if when you're acting like a baby, Andy and Billy don't want to play with you. But when we grow in God, Paul said there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, towards the end of that verse, he said, when I was a child, I spake like a child, I done like a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And you know, when we act like spiritual infants, and we're always messing up, and we're always, amen, the one around everybody talking about the temptation, talking about this, talking about that, and everybody just feels like you're living on the edge and stuff. Nobody really wants to be around that. Why? Because I want to be saved. That's why. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be around people that are going to talk about the goodness of God. I want to be around people that talks about overcoming, amen, the world. I don't want to be around people talking about the love of the world. because I'm guarding my soul. I got to do this. Now, I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. And so I work in the world. I deal with worldly people. I hear worldly sayings. I hear perverted sayings and such. I hear cuss words. That's not in my house. That's at other places. I hear cuss words. I hear stuff. But when I hear a cuss word, it doesn't make me want to click my heels and go say some cuss words. I had to guard myself. I got to guard myself. Why? Because I'm growing in God, and I'm growing in knowledge, and I'm growing. And God said, look, I've got somewhere I want you to go. But if you're hovering around, amen, the toddlers, you're never going to graduate over here to where you need to be. You got to grow up. You got to grow up. That's why you've got a pastor that's continually saying, come on, somebody. Amen. It's time to find a place to pray and to pray. Amen. But you ought not to have. That's what I need to do to the infants. But somewhere or another, you got to get a hold of it, and you got to come into the house of God, and you say, I don't have to be told to pray. It's time to pray. I don't have to be told to worship. That's what I came to do. And when you come and you grow in grace and in knowledge, you'll grow in strength, and you will be able to overcome the enemy. Praise God. I got to find a place and close this up. Yeah, I'm off page one. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints. That means that we're not where we need to be. And I'll just tell it to you like this. I better be able to preach myself under conviction. I better be able to preach myself into an altar, because if I can't, I'm in trouble. Woe unto me if I preach unto others and I myself am a castaway. And so anyways, here we have for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints, because that 2-year-old is not perfect. And that 13-year-old is not perfect. He thinks he is, but he's not. He's not. He's not perfect. But it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith, for the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here we go. That we henceforth be no more children. We need to grow. We need to grow. Just because God filled you with the Holy Ghost January the 26th of 1909, doesn't mean that you get to, 33 years later, that you get to still act like that little baby. That was me. I got to grow up. I got to grow up. Amen. We all have to grow. That you be no more children, tossed to and fro. You know what I'm expecting? I'm expecting new converts to say, Pastor, I messed up again. All right. Come on. You can do this. And you know what? That's what the other brothers and the sisters in the church are for. You know what? We all have messed up. Come on. You got this. Let's go. Stand up, helping one another. Tossed to and fro. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into, so I told you I was going to get to there sometime or another, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ. Praise God. You need to understand, salvation is a journey. It's not a one-time thing. It's a journey. It's a journey. Now, is there anybody in here that you have a vehicle that we can either charge or fill up right here, and we can make it all the way to Chicago without having to fill it up again or charge it again? Anybody? I didn't think so, because I don't either. As a matter of fact, I don't even really know of one. Maybe one of these electric vehicles that's long range or something. But we know they're not of God. So, you know what you need? You need a gas station. As a matter of fact, you need a few gas stations between here and Chicago. You're going to need a few charging stations between here and Chicago. Now, what am I trying to say? If you're trying to live right where you receive the Holy Ghost, you're not going to get very far.
because you're going to venture out about, you can only venture out halfway because you got to have half the resources to get back. And so you keep coming back to that place. And everybody else left you behind. And then you get upset. You get upset. Well, it's like everybody don't even know that I'm at church anymore. It's just, everybody's just, they don't care. They don't. I'm back to pastoring. That's because you're still setting on go. And the whole church is growing. And when we are growing, we are going. Now, Abraham was an altar builder. And the Lord told Abraham, he said, Abraham, get you up and get out of here. Go. And everything that you see, I'll give it to you. Abraham said, sure enough. He built an altar here, and he took off. But there are times he got lonely. He got depressed. He got down. But he didn't turn around and go back because he had never really gotten anywhere. But when he got over here, he built an altar. And when he built this altar, he got what he needed, and he kept going. And when he got over here, he didn't go back to January 26, 1990. He built an altar. And when he got all of that he needed right here, he went on. And sometimes he made it a little bit further than he made it at other times. But you know what he did? He built an altar. He built an altar. And that's what I'm telling you that you need to do. You don't need to find one experience in God and just cling on to it like some little two-year-old and not let it go. God gave you that for a testimony and a memorial, but you've got other altars that you need to build because you're growing and we are going. And so if you feel like, well, I just don't feel like I'm a part of the church anymore. I just feel like I'm being left out. I just feel like this. My question to you is, are you participating? Are you involving yourself? Well, I mean, just, Are you worshiping? Are you in prayer meeting? Like, well, I don't understand why prayer meeting is so important. But you know what? When everybody else, when we all come to prayer meeting and we get to praying, and then we come in, you know, Wednesday night and we're feeling good and stuff, and we take off, we're already like 15 miles down the road. And here you come in and you wonder, what's it? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to let everybody understand the church is going. And as we go, we grow. And we go higher and go higher and go higher. You know, we're not staying here. And I'm not talking about a physical spot. Amen. There are greater dimensions. We'll never hit 100 people until we hit 50. We'll never hit 50 until we hit 40. Amen. But somewhere or another, the church has got to get to that place that we say, you know what? We got to make this happen. And we start pushing and stuff. And all of a sudden, something happens. Amen. And then you begin to realize, oh, Lord, have mercy. My time is running out. And I got a long ways to go, because you have all these people say, well, you know what? Back when we was 35 people, we used to be friendly, and we used to be this, and we used to be that. Well, you know what? When there was 35 people, it was only 35 hands to shake. But now there's 100 hands. And so I got to shake 100 hands. If you'll stay around a little bit longer, I'll shake your hand too. Woo! But you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that we're growing. Amen. We're going. We're growing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's the way that God wants us to do. God doesn't want us to go back to the beginning. Amen. God doesn't want to lay the foundation again and again and again and again. He said it's time to build on that. It's time to grow. Let's stand.
Praise God. My 20-minute message turned into an hour. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day. Gavin, you need the Holy Ghost every day. I need the Holy Ghost every day. It's a good thing to talk in tongues every day. Somebody was telling my uncle,
So, yeah, I got the Holy Ghost. You want to hear me talk in tongues? He said, you can't just talk in tongues. I said, oh, yeah, we can. Anytime we want, we can do it. Well, that's not really what my Bible says. My Bible says, as the Spirit gives the utterance. I'm not running around spelling medicine real fast. Oh, M-E-D-I-C-N-E. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's medicine spelled real fast. M-E-D-I-C-I-N-E. I spell it fast. M-E-D-I-C-N-E. That's not the Holy Ghost. Somebody that does that, that's ignorance. It's as the Spirit gives the utterance. And so that means I got to get in the Spirit. That means I got to pray. It means I got to get in tune with God. When I get in tune with God, all of heaven comes to attention. There's a connection that's made. It's like the gas pump being put into the car, button being hit. Fill her up. You feel better. That's what it's all about. It's not just Sunday and Tuesday and Wednesday, but it's Monday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. It's every day. Inward man, renewed day by day. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, Titus 3 and 5, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You don't just get it once and you're done. I want it again and again. The dope head doesn't just smoke one joint and he's done. Wants more. The coke addict, they don't just do it once. Crack addict, the heroin addict, they don't just do it once. Man, this is great. I want to do it again. You get the Holy Ghost, you want to do it again and again. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's that deal about Abraham. See, I did get a little bit ahead of myself. Drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. My point is that they didn't set the rock in the wilderness and go towards Canaan lands. Well, we got to get back to the rock. No, the rock followed them. Wherever they were, that rock was there. And he said, and that rock was Christ Jesus. Yeah. That rock was Christ. And they partook of it every day. Wherever they were, they partook of it. That's what God wants you to do. Some of you are struggling. You're struggling. There's a few reasons that you're struggling. You're fighting battles that you shouldn't be fighting. Say, oh, yeah, no. It's just you should have already whipped them. You should have already beat them. You're fighting them because you haven't beat them. It's time to get over them. It's time to get beyond it. You need to put away those strange idols. Put away those things. Get those things out of your life. Don't play with those things. Get them out of your life. Get them out of your life. Get them out of your life. If you were a heroin addict, you come to Christ. You don't go back into the drawer and just put some heroin back in there just in case. You get it out of your life. Whatever you struggle with, you need to get it out of your life. Get it out of your life. Amen. You need to get over it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow numerically. Oh, I wish I had another hour. God wants us to grow numerically. But you know what? Four-year-olds ain't having babies. I would like to say that mature people are the ones having babies. In the world we live in, that's not such the case. It still needs to be the case in the church. And I'm not saying that the babies, that those that are 3 months old, they're not going to bring visitors. Everybody. We're all visitor host. We're all bringing visitors. We're all doing that. But the church can't be full of a bunch of babies and raise babies. It's time to grow. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm an overcomer. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
I get so excited every time I see Brother Michael. He's up here worshiping the Lord. Some of you, I just kind of want to poke you and just say, new converts shouldn't be teaching us how to worship. I'm glad new converts are worshiping, but the new converts shouldn't be teaching us how to worship. Well, I am mature in the Lord now. You're a hypocrite. I've grown past all of that, and I don't need to do that. Well, that's why you're struggling. Brother Michael got the Holy Ghost. He has a smile from one ear to the other ear. He still got a smile from one ear to the other ear. Brother Waldrop leaned over there and told me, he said, I don't think you can knock that smile off of his face. That's such a compliment. Because some of us, all it takes is just not shaking your hand. All of a sudden, grow up. Grow up. Well, I just feel so left behind. How old are you? Well, I just feel like nobody cares about me. Because we're caring for babies? Come on.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It's good.
Lord's good, isn't he? I said the Lord's good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And there would be nothing that would excite you more than for you to go find a visitor, bring them into the house of God, and them get the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, you'd be oohing and aahing over them. You'd be watching out, and they go to stumble like a little baby that's walking. They go to stumble. You reach out there and catch them, pick them up. Easy. Because that's what happens. And that's what God wants.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God wants you. God wants me. God wants all of us to make it.
Right.
And so he said, this is how you're going to do it. You got to grow.
Yeah.
You've got to grow. You cannot be babies. You cannot be infants. He said, you've got to grow. You got to grow. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about what God's doing, what God's going to do. Praise God. And it just makes me get all excited again. And then I can sing, I've got the Holy Ghost. Brother Daniel, help us out. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, well, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says, Micah.
I've got the
Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Just like the Bible. Just like the Bible. Just like the Bible says. I've got the Holy Ghost. Just like the Bible.
Just like the Bible says.
Oh yeah, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Just like the Bible.
Just like the Bible.
Yes. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul.
Bible says.
I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible says. Well, I've already been to the water and I've already been baptized. I've already been converted, and I feel all right. Well, I've been changed in Jesus' name, and I feel all right. I've already been to the water. I've already been baptized. I've already been converted. And I feel all right. I've been changed in Jesus' name. And I feel all right. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.